or old man. I don't think he's a young guy. Most of these guys are sycophants who want to be around athletes. But it will be interesting what exactly is done to Tom Brady. The agent and the dad of Tom Brady, both of them, attacking Ted Wells, who did the report. Ted Wells is one of the most respected attorneys in the country. He's not like slapping this together. As a matter of fact, he should have gone down even harder.
Tough to slap together reports.
But here's my question:
200 some pages.
You want to know what though? Yes. Here's my question: if Tom Brady had nothing, where is Tom Brady in this? How come he's not coming out and denying it and saying he was never generally aware? Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break from the Brady talk and go to Tom Whaley, another Tom, Saints executive VP Tom Whaley. Tom, you know, earlier he played you some good drum music.
I know. I need a sycophant though.
You don't have sycophants around there?
You need a sycophant too. Everybody needs
at least
sycophants around them. You got to have some sycophants around them.
Well, you got the pigs. They'll follow you anywhere if you have food.
What drum music? What do we have? Do we have good? I didn't hear it. Can you play it for?
I'm gonna have to save it again for Monday. But
okay.
It's a song that you kind of informally requested. You requested the band. I played a song from that band.
Oh, right on. Okay, all right.
So he tried.
So we'll get you pumped up on Monday.
I appreciate that.
Now you got something to look forward to Monday.
I do, and I will.
Now, Tom, all right, first, any signings off of today's tryout for the Saints?
No signings, but George did take down, I think, two or three numbers. So
okay.
That's always good. And that's kind of typical. You know, he'll if he sees some guys that he thinks can contribute at some point during the year. Most of them tend to be rookies who are, which we have to have six of on our roster by league rules.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. And it's just kind of to keep the,
keep it fresh.
And it's the developmental nature of the league that every team's got to have six rookies on it. So if you take down, two or three names, that's a good tryout. So we had 60 guys out today.
All right, now you got to tell me, who was number 60 and how bad was he?
Oh.
That's all I care about.
I cannot name names.
No, I don't care about names. Just tell me how bad he was and why he made it so bad.
It's just, who's the, who had the horrible first pitch? I'm trying to remember. Was it the rapper that?
50 Cent did that recently.
Oh my God! Yeah, this was almost that.
He was a pitcher.
It was like the thing. You just couldn't look at it anymore. You're like, oh God, I can't watch this anymore. And so you have to turn away. But you know what? I mean, guys following hopes and dreams. I'm all for it. But yes.
Was he okay? Was it an old guy or a kid? What was he?
It was there were probably three that I kind of would that were kind of in the same bag, and one of them was older. One of them guy showed up in I think he did have actually baseball pants on, but he showed up smoking a cigarette. Looked like he might have been in his 40s. Untucked rock and roll T-shirt with kind of he had the hat with like the foam front and the mesh back. And that was not good.
Do you video this? Because it would be great. You guys should videotape it. I mean, you could probably get a reality show out of it. Some of these guys who show up.
We'd have to do that pixelated thing on their faces, otherwise we'd get sued.
Hey, they sign waivers.
It would be a definite defamation.
No, they sign waivers. Once you get that waiver,
true.
You're good to go. I shouldn't have to tell you this, Tom. You're an executive vice president for criminy sakes.
And a lawyer.
And a lawyer.
Bad on me.
See, that's what I'm saying. Now, I think I've told you before this, but if your listeners didn't hear it, I did this when I worked for the Atlantic City Press, technically the Press of Atlantic City. I went to an Orioles tryout. They had one near Atlantic City, and they had me, honestly, it had to be at least 15 to 20 minutes. It might have been half an hour pitching because they wanted a good look at the hitters, and it was like a guy throwing batting practice. And when I got done, I walk off and I go, what happened? The knuckler wasn't working. And I said, knuckler, that was my heat. I was throwing fastballs. So it turned out to be a pretty good story. But I mean, you know what? They must have liked that I was getting it over the plate for these guys to bang it out.
Teams are always looking for good BP pitchers. I'm surprised they didn't sign you.
Well, I'm available if you need me. I don't know if the arm is what it used to be, but you never know. I don't know if I can still bring that heat like I used to. At 20 miles an hour or whatever the heck it was. But I had near pinpoint accuracy. So if I was facing off against my 5-year-old daughter, I would guarantee you she won't get it past the warning track.
Blow her out.
Yeah, she won't get it to the warning track. That I can promise you. You know, it's actually, Tom, I'm going to go off on a... Now, you have kids, right?
I do.
Did they play T-ball or
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
the T-ball team I coached, when my son's now 17, but when he was in T-ball, these kids were so bad because they all wanted to swing. They didn't want to hit it off the tee at practice.
Right.
So this is not an exaggeration. David, how far am I from you?
About 5 feet?
I'd say closer to 6 or 7. 5 to 6. Okay. I was as close as I was to David because you had to get that close and lob it to these kids. And yeah. Every time I'd throw, I'd like cover up just in case one of them connected. Because none of them want, it's T-ball, but no kid wants to hit off the tee.
No. Throw it to me.
Thankfully, none of them could hit. That was helpful. There were a few where I had to turn to the side, but it's a scary proposition.
My uncle used to always say that there were two things you could do to criminals to make them, to scare them straight, and that was coach a T-ball team or pick strawberries. And he was dead on about coaching a T-ball team.
Oh, that's funny. Well, now tell us what's got. Now you got Saturday players report, right? That's the first time that there'll be a workout, I guess, at CHS Field for these guys, right? For a full team.
Some of them actually, the guys that I think are closer, they're like chomping at the bit. We probably have, I don't know, 8 or 10 guys in town now, and they were already out there, you know, informally on their own, throwing the ball around, and
they must love it.
Yeah, it just that's the thing. I mean, they're like walking on air down there. It's just but the fun part is, you know, I think to the guys who weren't here last year, they walk in and they go, man, nice digs. But the guys who had been, you know, a year or two at Midway and know what it was are just freaking out.
Oh, it's got to be. It's like heaven for them. It's like, you know, it's probably like what the field in Iowa was for Field of Dreams.
That's what it is. They walk in, they're like, is this real?
Now, is Ole here? Is he still in school? He's still teaching.
He teaches, and I think it's probably he might not get up here till after June 1st.
Okay, so who takes care of his role as your hitting coach until he shows up?
Well, you know who was out today working the tryout was Al Newman.
Is Al going to do stuff with you guys?
Yeah, he does. I think he's got some coaching managing obligations in the summer, but now's a good time for him.
And that's
we're,
great.
You know, obviously thrilled to have him around.
He's a great guy. Well, he does it. He and Gene Larkin and Pete Wagner do, and Hellboy here, who's at the drums for you, he produces them on Saturday mornings on Deck Radio from 11 to noon.
Yeah.
And Al's a great. He's on with us every Wednesday too, along with Pete to talk baseball. So he's a great guy.
And George just—I mean—he brings so much to the table for us. So it's he's great.
And also, as I'm sure everyone knows, if Al starts telling you how to hit with power, you sort of
<that's right>. Run for the hills.
he had the one home run in his career. He jokes about that a lot, which is funny. Well, you know, when Ole gets in, you and he should come into studio together because I really like that guy. He's a lot of fun to talk to.
He's a great guy, and he's one of those guys. He's like sneaky smart, like you wouldn't know it. I was following him into the ballpark in Winnipeg. My wife and I went up just for fun for the games, and we're following him in, and he's having a conversation with one of his teammates about some physics class or something he was taking or whatever. And I'm like, who the hell? I didn't know it was him. I'm like, who the hell's talking, you know, thermonuclear physics here? And I look, and I'm like, holy crap, man.
Hey, he belies that he does. He veils his intelligence.
He does.
Well, he has to dumb it down because it is baseball.
It is baseball. That's right.
I'm kidding. No, we want to thank you, Tom. Tom Whaley, the Saints Executive Vice President, joins us every Monday, usually at 3:45. Sometimes we move things around if his schedule or ours needs to change. But love talking on Mondays. Love talking today, Tom. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks again to Tom Whaley, Saints Executive VP. Going to take a quick break. Little D-bag of the day. We're going to come back, and our D-bags are coming out of the flake gate. We'll be right back.
It's time. Bang, need a bop, bop, D-bag, need a bop, bop, D-bag, need a bop, bop, D-bag, douchebag.
D-bag, how about give him the news. Give him a little news sports flash early.
Wasn't quite ready for that one.
I knew. That's why I threw you the curve. Which is apropos, considering what you're going to tell people.
Oh, the Minnesota Twins. They went ahead and won a game today.
Put some three over 500.
Boom.
Right? Boom.
Glenn Perkins came in and picked up yet another save.
Boom.
I think that's 10. It's not bad.
Not too bad at all.
And now they got another winning streak going after losing the one on Tuesday night.
I'll tell you what, this team, they're going to replace the Wild as a team in everyone's hearts. Although I still think when the Wild lose, they'll have a 10-game losing streak.
Are they going to do the opposite of what the Wild did?
Oh, you mean have the great start and then collapse?
Yeah. They'll be really good up until September, and all of a sudden,
actually, they don't lose 90 or more. I think people will be satisfied with that. Right now, though, hey, they're on pace to get themselves a winning record. Would that be something?
I would enjoy seeing that.
Molitor would be manager of the year if that were to happen.
Well,
he'd have to be a very strong candidate after how bad they've played for 4 years.
Just a winning record, though. So if you went 82-80, that's good enough.
I think it would be. I think that he would get consideration. He'd have to. Maybe not win it, but certainly have consideration. All right, little D-bag of the day. There's actually, every one of them is related to, including, I'll even throw him in it, Tom Brady. Tom Brady for making other people talk for him. His agent, Don Yee, said in a statement today that the findings of the Wells report, which said that he was generally aware, of the deflation of the footballs in Deflategate, quote, contains significant and tragic flaws, end quote, is a significant and terrible disappointment. Okay. Again, he was generally aware, but this guy, the findings released Wednesday, 243-page report by Ted Wells, league-appointed attorney, who, by the way, has represented some of the biggest corporations in the nation, represented some of the highest profile politicians and people in the nation. The guy, he also did the Richie Incognito investigation. He's their go-to guy in the NFL for investigations. He's been investigating whether the Patriots deflated balls in their game against the Colts. And according to Yee, its omission of key facts and lines of inquiry suggests the investigators reach a conclusion first and then determine so-called facts later. Of course he's going to say stuff like this. One item alone taints this entire report. What does it say about the league office's protocols and ethics? When it allows one team to tip it off to an issue prior to a championship game and no league officials or game officials notified the Patriots of the same issue prior to the game. This suggests it may be more probable than not that the league cooperated with the Colts in perpetrating a sting operation. Now he's calling it a sting. You know what? Why would you tip them off? Because the assumption should be they're not cheating.
If Robert Redford and Paul Newman weren't involved, it's not a sting.
This is very true. And if you didn't hear the entertainer playing in the background, that you know, that song, there's nothing like that. There's no sting going on at all. Also, Tom Brady's dad weighed in too. He was just all worked up about how, you know, it's just silly, there's nothing to it, blah, blah, blah. He used different words, but basically said it was, in his own way, calling it a sting. And then the mayor of Boston claims there's no real proof. It's fishy. It's Mayor Martin L. Walsh. He's a big-time Pats fan, Patriots fan. He called the report vague and saying it returned no real concrete answers about Tom Brady's involvement in Deflategate. Usually when you're in an investigation, you come back with some concrete answers, he said. This is what was known. This is how we did it. It seems like somebody's stretching something. No, they're not. They're just trying to... Okay, it came out yesterday. Where is Tom Brady? I don't care if he's overseas with his wife at some runway. Issue a statement of his, categorically denying it, but he won't, or he hasn't. Because if he did, he opens himself up to even more investigations. He will get fined or suspended, but we had the report early. It'll be a year. So I'm going to roll in. Let's see. I don't want to miss anyone. The agent, Don Yee. The mayor of Boston, Martin L. Walsh. Tom Brady's pappy, because he's... Well, you know what, though? I'm going to leave him out of it, because you would expect a father to step up for your kid, right? You would hope they would, even if they're blindly stepping up. We'll leave the old man out of it. But we will... We'll throw in... You know, we'll throw in Tom Brady, too, though. But you can't go after parents. Because, you know, that's your job, is to stick up for your kid, right or wrong. This isn't raised to the level of being heinous. But the... So, all right, those three, it's a three-way tie to me for D-bag of the day with those guys. Are we in some sort of an agreement on that?
Yep.
I'm glad to hear that. Tragic flaws, my. We'll just say tragic flaws, my. We'll just leave it at that. Now, do you think this taints the Super Bowl win?
Not really, because even when this was all coming up, it's like I said the line that they don't all wear the same size shoes, they don't all wear the same size shoulder pads, everything.
Yeah.
It should be just a comfort thing for what quarterback is comfortable throwing the ball. The other quarterback doesn't have to use the same ball if he doesn't think it's...
Yes, but here's the however. It's still a league rule, and he broke the rule. Let's see who's on line one there.
It's Greg in Minneapolis.
Greg, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bob?
Good. Are you? How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm your unofficial Patriots correspondent.
I forgot. Yep. Okay. So you are going to stick up for Tom Brady too, or are you not?
Well, I too feel like there's some key flaws in the report.
Oh, and from your standpoint, what are they?
Well, for one, the fact that they only measured four of the Colts' footballs is kind of weird, because if it's supposed to be a level playing field, wouldn't you want to, you know, measure all 12 of them? But they only measured four, and three of the four came up as under the league rules.
They were underinflated, too.
They were underinflated.
And did they make them reinflate them? I assume they did.
Yeah, that's what they said, that they reinflated all the footballs, and then they tested them again after the game, and all the footballs after the game ended up being all around 13 pounds for both sides. And then, if you remember, you know, that was so there's a level playing field, and the Patriots won that second half 28-0. And then you talk about the Super Bowl, you know, like, does that taint it? Well, they were under high scrutiny. There was a Chicago Bears equipment guy who was controlling the balls, so you can't say anything about the footballs in that Super Bowl, and they clearly won that game.
Well, you know, Lamorin, and that's why that ball was a bad pass by Russell Wilson. Somehow one of the guys got a hold of it. No, I'm kidding. That didn't happen. Now, let me ask you this, Greg. How upset would you be if Brady was suspended for any amount of games, and the report out of the Miami Herald is it could be up to a year, which I think is excessive?
Well, it's ridiculous, because you have to consider the source. Like, anything coming out of the Jets camp, anything coming out of the Dolphin camp, anything coming out of the Bills camp is definitely going to be negative Patriots, because they've been getting destroyed by them for the last 10 years.
And they're giddy. You know that those teams are just giddy about all this.
Oh, yeah, they're loving it. And then, so the main thing with my concern with the report is the firm that they had conduct it, not
Ted Wells.
Ted Wells, the lawyer.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Not him, but the people assigned to test the barometric pressure of if the natural weather could have influenced it. Well, I don't know about you, but I think MIT, they're a pretty smart bunch.
Yep.
And MIT has come out and said that it's very possible that with the weather conditions that they conducted their own study, and 1.5 to 1.9 PSI is very likely to have dissipated, whereas this other firm, they said that they could not conclude that information, but in the past, they're the firm that has concluded that smoking does not cause cancer, and that asbestos does not cause cancer, and that oil spills in the ocean are not harmful to the environment.
Well, you know what, though, Greg, what's most damning to Tom Brady are I'm sure you've read them, these text messages.
They are, but if you look at the context of them, those text messages are coming from the Week 11 game against the Jets, where Tom Brady's voicing his frustration about, and they noted it in the report, about how the football was 16 pounds. So if the NFL does such a great job of regulating these footballs, how did they inflate it to 16 pounds, which is, you know, almost 2.5 over the legal limit.
Well, as the one guy, McNally, pointed out, that he said, he basically said, blank, Tom, make sure the pump is attached to the needle, blank and watermelon's coming.
So. Yeah, because Tom was saying that the balls were 16 pounds in that Jet game, and that was, you know, too much. He doesn't want it that high.
Hey, Greg.
But, you know, he's saying, yeah, screw him. They'll be that big again next game, too, blah, blah. But it just comes down, that report painted a picture. I think Wells even mentioned it, that, you know, in so many words, that the referees and the officiating did a sterling job.
Greg, I want to interrupt you here, but I want to ask you this. Do you like five-fingered death, what?
Death punch?
Punch, or Slipknot, or, yeah, or Volbeat. Do you like that kind of music? Would you like to go to the Northern Invasion in Somerset? It's sold out.
No, I do not like that kind of music.
All right. Well, I was going to give you tickets, but then I need to, because we need to take a quick break here.
Go ahead.
Hurry. Ruin my day. Ruin my schedule. Go ahead.
Ruin Jim's day.
Ruin Jim's day. Go ahead.
Do you think that Roger Goodell saw the videotape of the Ray Rice surveillance video?
I have to be honest with you. How could he not have demanded to see it?
Okay, well, so he conducted his own investigation on whether they ever received it or saw it, and the conclusion was that no, they didn't. So it's just, I do not trust the NFL and their investigations. They're always into protecting the shield, and if it means throwing one of the 32 teams under the bus instead of the head of the whole league, then they will do that.
Greg, I love talking to you. Call back again tomorrow.
Okay, thank
all right,
you, Bob.
Take it easy. Greg, thanks a lot. He's a Patriot fan. I think we could have guessed that. Take a quick break. Come right back with Jim Suhan from Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. Be right back with Jim.
How do you not give that great bit of trivia? That's a fact. It's news.
I thought we were going to talk about that together.
Well, you could have stole the thunder of it. Well, actually, we'll talk about it. We've got to introduce Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com.
Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, what I was giving them crap about, our program coordinator, Brian Kersky, came in and said, right now, this moment, if the playoffs started, the Twins would be the second wild card. How about that?
Well, it's actually really encouraging. I mean, you can't always read into records, especially early season, or stats or anything else. Baseball just lasts too long to jump all over numbers. But what I like about this is this team isn't winning for any of the reasons that it thought would cause improvement this year. It hasn't called up Byron Buxton yet. Hasn't called up Miguel Sano yet. Hasn't called up Alex Meyer yet.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been particularly healthy. They haven't solved center field. They haven't gotten anything out of Urban Santana, who was supposed to be kind of the cause of maybe a five-game improvement. Nolasco, I guess, gets the win today, actually, I don't even know if he got the decision, but Nolasco lasts five innings today, but he hasn't really helped them out. So the two big free agent signings they made the last 2 years haven't really helped yet. The great young players haven't made it to the big leagues yet. All the moves they've made to improve the pitching staff haven't really played out, except for maybe Trevor May a little bit, and they're still three games over 500. To me, as hard as it is to prove or substantiate, and I haven't been around that team a lot this spring, a little bit this season, the difference for me is Molitor, his calm, his ability to kind of guide a team and make common sense moves, and Hunter being in the clubhouse. You know, they're 1-6 coming off four bad years. That would have been a really easy time to say, okay, we stink. Let me just get my hits and get out of here, which is the attitude for quite a while during the losing streak. So young players just want to get paid and not wanting to, you know, not really caring about winning much. It's a different atmosphere over there, and I really think that has something to do with them playing well at this point.
Now, Ricky Nolasco did get the win, and how often do you see this stat? A guy with a winning record, well, I mean, it's not a big one, 2-1, with a 9.00 ERA.
Well, that's the thing. I give Nolasco no credit for victories or for pitching well or for anything else. He's been terrible, and I hate watching him pitch. You look, no life on his pitches. He falls off the left, which robs him of power and accuracy. He's just kind of throwing slop up there and hoping they hit it to somebody. I hate watching him pitch. You know, he's got to be better than this. I mean, you know, they've gone from hoping he would kind of lead his staff last year. Now they're hoping he can be a decent fifth starter on a decent team.
Now, Jim, let's talk about something, the inevitable, the Wild playing tonight. And by the way, I like your new headshot, your cartoon headshot. You're looking like you're in your early 20s.
I look like Eddie Munster.
No, it's a little peak. It's not like that. No, you look good. It's a good. Even Sid looks like he's only in his 80s. In his.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. Sid and I both look 20 years younger, so Sid looks 80 and I look 60. I'm always in favor of any time you keep my actual picture out of the paper, I'm always in favor.
No, it does look good. And I love your and we talked about this yesterday, you gave us a little preview. Your lead, if Thomas Vanek played in the NFL, he'd be the proud new owner of the phrase, "I play when I want to play."
It's disgusting. And, you know, everybody always wants you to write what they think. You know, you've written newspaper columns.
Yep.
So you know, the reactions I'm getting, oh, what about this guy? What about that guy? I'm allowed to pick one guy and write about him today. I ripped, you know, a bunch of other guys the other day. Today it's about Thomas Vanek, and he's been terrible.
He's the microcosm for the team.
Unfortunately, he's the macrocosm, I think.
No, excuse me. Yes.
This is a team that can't score, and he is here to do nothing but score. You know, he's got to make up for his other deficiencies. What he needs to do is be part of the scoring and make enough of an effort that his defensive lapses don't cost the team. And instead, the other, he's not scoring, and his defensive lapses and his lack of energy are worse than we've ever seen them before. And that, you know, as I wrote, that's the antithesis of what hockey players are supposed to be about. They're supposed to be a toughness and effort and coming up big in the playoffs. And he's an embarrassment. And, you know, people, some people are saying, well, you know, Pominville's a bigger problem because he's a longer-term contract. I actually agree with that. Long-term, Pominville and his contract and his lack of production are a bigger problem than Vanek. He's signed for longer for more money than Vanek. But right now, Vanek is both the symbol and the cause of many of their problems.
You know, and what's interesting is last year, because there was talk even in the postseason that they'd go after Vanek and might get him. And people around here, if you didn't really follow, and I didn't follow what was happening in Montreal, he was put to the fourth line. And, well, how could that happen? Well, I think we have an idea how it happened. He's on the third line. You know, he's at the third line or on the third line tonight because he did shake a few things up, Mike Yeo. But I think it's understandable why, because he probably was giving that sort of effort throughout Montreal's postseason.
Exactly. And, you know, Vanek is getting a little bit, he's probably not getting beat up as badly here, because he did win a championship for the Gophers. He is liked, or at least he was liked. I think people are more hopeful than angry. At least some of the people are more hopeful than angry. In Montreal, you can't get away with that stuff. I mean, they know too much, and they had no attachment to him, so I think he got buried.
Now, I asked this question, so we had Tom Reed earlier, you know, Wild Broadcast Team, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, and Jack Jablonski, and they both came up with one guy, and the question was, take the first two lines of the Blackhawks, first two lines of the Wild, how many Wild players would start on the line the two lines you would put together, and they both came up with Parisi, and I'm trying to see who else you would come up with. Is there anyone else?
Parisi.
Yeah, it'd be him.
Yeah, it'd be Parisi. And that's the thing. The skill level for the Blackhawks is so high. And Hossa's great. I don't think he always gives you maximum effort during the regular season. At this point in his career, he saves the playoffs, but he's just so hard to play against. Hayes is one of the best players in the league. Kane might be the most skilled player in the league. Shad. And, I mean, they have just so sharp. They have so much skill. Parisi certainly would be up there. I'd be interested to see how Nino Niederreiter would play if he played with a bunch of really skilled guys. With his shot and his willingness to go to the net, he could be really productive playing with better players around him. But Parisi is the only easy answer.
Yeah, that's a great point, though. If some of these guys happen to be inserted onto, you know, that second line with Chicago, how much better they would look. That's a good way to look at it, too. Now, Jim, tonight will you be with Russo?
No, we actually had a change schedule. I'm doing a show at Kieran's. We do one a week over at the Cara Irish Pubs over in Minneapolis. So I had an obligation to Kieran. So Neil Justin, a longtime TV critic for the Star Tribune, is going to come on. We're going to talk about, you know, sports broadcasting, the future of sports broadcasting. We're going to talk about some sports-themed movies and TV shows. And we're going to talk about serial TV, which is like my favorite non-sports topic. So 4 o'clock at Kieran's.
Well, that'll be fun. And now, are you going to have? Is there going to be any crossover with City Pages now that the Star Tribune owns it?
I have no idea. They don't consult me on important stuff. And I would think that if you're buying City Pages, you're doing it so they can kind of maintain, so they can, you know, bring you a different audience. Maybe work into some advertising that way.
Yep.
But also maintain. City Pages is valuable because they aren't a traditional newspaper. These are an alternative newspaper. I'm sure we're smart enough if we're buying them to let them continue to be independent thinking, even if we're owned by them.
Well, Jim, being a musician, if you ever want to become a music critic, this is the opportunity.
Ooh, that's good.
Think about that.
My problem with being a music critic is I only listen to old music at this point in my life, and I don't like staying up past like 10 o'clock at night. So I don't think I'm not exactly Chris Freeman Snyder here. I'm not going to be out at the bars at 2 a.m. looking for a new act.
You know what's funny about that? You say you only listen to old music. The old music I listen to precedes yours by at least 50 years. Because mine's musical comedies from the 20s. That's my kind of music. I'm a big Jolson Eddie Cantor fan.
Okay, you have me beat.
That's what I figured. All right, Jim, we appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune is SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, thanks for that. Love talking to you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
Bye.
We're going to take a quick break. Come back with Rick Harrow, host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights, Bloomberg Sportfolio. It's on tonight at 8:30. And I got to tell this very quickly. During the break, I'd gotten a call. You know, I checked to see what it was. Turned out, if you don't want to get these calls anymore, press 1. So I'm going. I say to Hellboy here, when people call like that, you get these from these business. What do you call when you get these calls you don't want? Family, which I thought was hilarious. No, then he corrected the telemarketers. But when you get a call you don't want, where are you getting them from? Family.
Usually.
Good line. All right, we're going to come right back with Rick Haro.
Get
We are back. We are joined by Rick Haro, host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights. Bloomberg Sportfolio tonight at 8:30. Haro, H-O-R-R-O-W, sports.com. Rick, I always look forward to Thursdays when we can have you on. Because we learn things.
I appreciate that. I'm just at Universal Sports taping our golf show, which we're running in the next couple of weeks. And we had Phil Mickelson's agent on, and we also had Jordan Spieth's dad, Sean, who runs a company called MVP, which is ironic because it is the biggest social media tracking company in the world. And we also have Sean Spieth's kid front and center, top of line on that company, which is really kind of interesting.
That's a pretty good lineup you got cooking there.
Yeah, we got and Ty Votoff, by the way, who's the PGA Tour senior vice president in charge of developing the Olympics. So it's a it's a big deal in every context, and it'll be fun. It'll be on in two Wednesdays, but believe me, we'll talk about it.
Well, let me ask you this: you mentioned about the Olympics and golf. Will it become, as time the Ryder Cup, have that kind of attention to it in the Olympics? Or, to have to be that prestigious?
Tune in.
Well,
yeah.
good preview. Good tease. All right, that's a good way to get
good
people.
Tease, right? Tune
great
in.
Great tease.
People think it will have the potential of being a big rallying cry. There are going to be 50 men, 60 men, 60 women. There's a qualification formula. The qualifying for the Olympics will be a big marketing event we've never had before. The downside is that they're moving the PGA Championship next year to July, basically right after the British, which is also going to be moved up. So a lot of players are thinking the disruption of the schedule may not be the greatest thing in the world, but we'll just have to see.
Yeah, well, the thing about that is people love the schedule where it's at because it gives you a nice break between each. Then there's nothing happening in August of championships, but then you.
But now the break now will be the Olympics, which everybody's looking forward to. And, most of the athletes we talk to, Phil Mickelson as an example through his agent, saying there's some special significant patriotism, and everybody understands that if the disruption is to move one of the majors a month early, they can certainly tolerate that to play in a patriotic event like the Olympics.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, I'm sure you know all the principles in this one. The story out of Miami is that Brady could be suspended for up to a year. That seems excessive, but the shots taken at Ted, I'm guessing you know Ted Wells personally.
Well, I know Ted Wells and Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft and
that's right,
a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's like the only guys I don't know are the two
locker room guys.
The about to be sacrificial lambs, right?
Well, but see, I'm wondering about are there many guys more respected as litigators and as investigative attorneys than Wells? He's taken shots from Brady's dad, from Brady's agent, and from the mayor of Boston, taking shots at his report. I just don't understand it. I mean, where's Tom Brady weighing in, even by a statement? I guess they've told him, shut up so you don't get in any more trouble.
Well, A. But B is that, when you look at the report, it's written in a very legal, scholarly way. He uses words like more likely than not, which is exactly the kind of standard where punishment is imposed. And now we'll see what Troy Vincent does, because remember, this goes to the disciplinarian, the head of the players on the NFL side. And we'll also see how the union weighs in. It'll be interesting if the union decides to fight any suspension for Tom Brady, because basically, the union would be doing the dirty work of the owner of the team, who, frankly, wouldn't want him suspended, but also understands how important league solidarity is.
Is a year, do you think, with knowing what you know about the league, is that an outlandish thing, or do you think that's possible to go that long?
Yeah, I don't know how many people have asked me that today, and I guess it was Armando Salguero, the Herald, and, I don't know who these people are. I'm not taking shots at him, certainly. He's a respected journalist. And anybody can talk about, it could be not good. The texts are there. Why did Tom Brady call this guy, a few times, according to the phone records, after never calling him again and never calling him before? So, but that is circumstantial. And a lot of this issue is
This has nothing to do with criminal behavior, and it's an internal league matter. It is cheating and integrity of the rules, so Roger Goodell has to deal with it. But it's not like recovering your credibility after social and domestic violence issues, too. It's an entirely different issue.
Great point. Now, Rick, tonight on Bloomberg's Portfolio, tonight at 8:30, what will be the topics there?
Well, we've got all golf stuff. We've got, you know, coming back from the fight and what it means. By the way, Vegas front and center, right? And so Vegas, $350 million in gambling from basketball, men's professional and college. You got the $500 million of economic impact from the fight. They may get hockey. And how about your Wild? What's wrong with them?
They may just be done come tonight. Game starts at 8:30. They're playing an incredibly good team. I mean, I think against Nashville, it looked like there might be some holes. There are none right now. That Chicago team could win it all this year. That's a terrific
what happens
team.
When you remember what it's like to win a championship, and maybe the regular season isn't as important.
You make a great point. Rick Carl, thank you so much. Rick Carl, host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights, Bloomberg's Portfolio, tonight at 8:30, harrowsports.com. Rick, love talking to you. Talk to you next week. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then you're going to hear from Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. They'll take you right up till 7. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night. We'll see you later.
Or disappear into the potter's ground. When the man comes around.